Just make sure that the next speaker speaks into a different phone.
Then I'm going to do a quarter stop and play again.
Yeah. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I hope so.
The Minsk Magid, Rabbi Yonah Shaikovitsky, once had to go speak. A Magid travels around to speak to be Meserved of people to Tshuva. So he once went to speak in a certain town, and when he prepared for the speech, he had in mind that there would be a little small crowd there. When he arrived, he saw that there was throngs of people, Dayonim, Talmidei Chachamim, Balabatim, women, children. He was a little intimidated when he looked up and he saw such a big crowd. That's not the problem today, Baruch Hashem, but that's not the point of the Maisa. So he started off by saying, the truth is that, as you know, I've never spoken in your town. I come from far, so I had to hire a wagon driver to get here. We took this drive, we went through sandy roads, dusty roads, out through the woods, and at one point we approached a fork in the road. And there was nobody there to tell us which way to go. We just sat there, we didn't know what to do, maybe wait for somebody passing by, or every drochem, nobody came. At one point, the wagon driver got up, and he went over to a nearby tree, he scraped off the dust with his hand, and there, on a tin sign, small little tin sign, scrawled and handwritten, it said that your town is to the right. We didn't know what to do, we had nobody to be samech on. So we were samech on the tin sign, and we went to the right, and we traveled, and here we are. He says, and I was thinking as I got up here to speak, he says, that back when we were at the fork in the road, we didn't know what to do. We lacked direction. We had nobody to tell us which way to go. So we relied on a mere tin sign, on a small tin sign. We had no idea if the facts were accurate. We didn't know who wrote it. We didn't know if it was somebody from your town. But we relied on a tin sign because we didn't have a choice to show us direction. He says, when I came to speak to you today, I'm here to tell you that I'm the tin sign. And people who are looking for direction, I'll show you the direction. Although we don't know what the facts are, we don't necessarily know what's 100% right or not, I can tell you that anything that I tell you, he said, is over from my Rebbeim, or influenced by my Rebbeim. And they've scrawled it in my heart, and that's the way I feel. And if you want direction, I'm the mere tin sign, and I'll show you direction. So I Behemoths feel the same way, you know, to get up and speak for alumni from Levaya and other Choshev people that came. Etzem, I don't know that it's my mokum. I'm not a Rebbe in Yeshivas Levaya. But Lamaisa, what I can tell you is that what I tell you is not my own. Whatever I tell you is what I've heard from my Rebbeim. Some of them are here today. Whatever you hear from me is, and someone who's looking for direction, I'll show you which direction that I was taught, scrolled by me. I'm the mere tin sign. This week's parasha begins the episode of Esav and Yaakov. Esav and Yaakov, other than Cain and Hevel, Yishmael and Yitzchak, it wasn't so accentuated, but Esav and Yaakov are the first of good and evil, officially. The first thing that we know about the fight, the Yitzhar, between good and evil. And Esav is perplexing, exactly who Esav is. We see this before by Lot as well. Very perplexing. Hamoli looks like this. His cheshbon is not accurate, as Rabbi Rappaport would put it. Inconsistent. Esav is the same way we see in this week's parsha. I heard from one of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Sogdovid Volensky, once, that the Hagdorah of Esav and Yaakov is very poshut. It's in the attitude of Esav and Yaakov. When we were introduced to Esav and Yaakov in this parsha, the first thing they say is, Esav is an Ish Tzayid, Ish Yodeyat Tzayid, a man who knows hunting, Ish Sodeh, a man of the field, and Yaakov is called an Ish Tam, Yoshev Oilim. He sits in tents. He learns Torah. The Chazal learn out that Oil is talking about the Torah, the Holy Shul Torah. Esav is a Sodeh. He's represented by a field. A field is vast. There are no barriers. There's no boundaries. As far as the eye can see, all you see is field. And Yaakov is oil. And oil is four walls. Esav is somebody who has no boundaries. Do whatever it is. Whatever you enjoy, whatever it may be. Zero restrictions, no cheshbon, no gedorim, no boundaries. He lives his life to the fullest. He gets his kicks in, he lives on the edge, and it doesn't really matter. There should be no guidelines. That's Esav's philosophy. And Yaakov is an ish tam yoshev olam. He's like an oil. An oil has four walls and it has a roof. There are boundaries. For everybody, those boundaries are something different. But someone has to be a Ben Yaakov in order to be from the Bnei Yaakov. One has to have guidelines. He has to have his gedorim. He has to have his red line that until here, I'm willing to go, but not further than here. like I said, depending on all walks of life, different people have different boundaries. But there has to be boundaries. To be a Ben Yaakov means there's not a free-for-all. There are restrictions. Esav is not like that. As we'll soon see, Esav can't handle really any restriction to whatever he's desiring to do in life. And begins the parasha here that we see that Yitzchak Avinu was sitting shiva for Yaakov Avinu. For Avram Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu, the pasuk says, Vayozid Yaakov Nozid. Yaakov boiled a stew. Doesn't tell us that it was Adoshim till afterwards. And the Chazal say because Esav didn't really care what it was. He just saw something cooking. Esav came from the field and he was very tired. And Chazal learned out that he was tired because that day he had a very busy schedule. He was even Gila Rayashu, his Dom and Abedizora. He came in tired from killing. Rashi brings one of the three. He was tired. Some Chazal bring that he was so tired, it was mat poshet kimat like mavas. He was ready to faint. And he said to Yaakov, pour for me that red stuff. He doesn't say exactly what it is. He sees red, pour it down my throat. Rashi explains. Esav says, I'll put my head back and you'll pour it into my mouth. I always like to tell the boys in yeshiva, I don't know if they still have this, but Amol, I taught in Eretz Yisrael, the Lubachim would come back and they describe the scene. One of the Mekamis HaKadoshim, the various places near Rehov Yaffa, where they used to have, at the bar, you can pay a certain amount of money, and then you put your head back on the table, and you ask for whatever combination that they're ready to give you of the alcohol, and you put your head back, and they pour it down, halitaini. They don't say no, maybe over there, but they halitaini. They would pour it down your throat until you're ready, you can't handle it anymore. And then you would, however much you could do, all you can eat, so this is all you can drink. They put their head back up, and then they weren't sure if they were in Yaffa, they were back in Yeshiva, they weren't. That's halitaini nomina odem odem azeh. You see, today they even have that today in Yishalayim. But that's what Esav's idea was. Just pour it down. I don't know, I just need to feed my head. Pour down the food. Halitainim in Adam Adam Azeh. Ki oyef anoichi, because I'm tired. Says the Pasuk, Al-Kain Koresh Moy Edom. That's why he's called red. Now this red is a very significant thing. Today we're in a Golos called Golos Edom. There are four Golosins. Golos Bovel, Poras, Yovan. We're in the longest prolonged exile right now, known as Golos Edom. The Romans and the Gemara are referred to as Edom. The Roman flag actually was a red flag. Everything is red. They make this big thing. Why? Because one day some guy came in and he was hungry and said, pour the red stuff. Therefore there's this big significance attached to today. When Golos Edom, the nation of Esav is Edom, Olam Moshiach, by single Shpeitzar Esav, all that is all Edom, 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 Edom. Everything is Edom. Why? Because somebody was once hungry and he said, pour me the red stuff, I'll can't courage my Edom. And if he would have come in and he would have been cold and freezing from outside, and he saw Yaakov preparing a blue frock for his father by the Shiva to warm him up, he would have said, I'm cold, give me that blue shirt. So that's it, I'll can't courage my blue. What is the Nakuda here? What is the Nakuda that forever they're called red? But the Farshim bring different things out. The Ramban says that people used to scoff at him and call him red because look what he did. He traded away his whole future for a little bit of red stew. But Lamaisa, Esav did lots of things that were not Beseda. Esav made a lot of wrong decisions along the way. And this one is the one that marks his name and his descendants, La'olmeyah. They're Edom. Because of one happening, because he said, pour me the red stuff. Cries out for a Hezbo. What's the pshat? We'll leave that for a moment. So Yaakov's smart. And Yaakov says, sell the first birthright to me. Sell the b'chayra to me. They explained that at that time the plan was that the kahuna would go to the b'char. Rabbi Shalom sanctified all the firstborn by Makas b'chayras, and therefore they had a certain kedusha, and they were going to do the aveda in the Beis HaMikdash. And he basically said, Yaakov, no problem. Even though I worked hard to put together this meal, and you come in with azah azas, you know, pour it for me. Your father's sitting shiva here. It's pshat. But lamaisa, I'm willing to give it to you if you're willing to give me the Avoda in return. You give me the first birthright. You give me the Kedusha, and I'll give you the Gashmias. So, Esav made a Cheshbon. Made a Cheshbon, but it doesn't just say, okay, I'm so hungry, I'll just do it. No, Esav made a Cheshbon. Esav had a cup. Rabbaran Kotler's Yard Science, Rabbaran used to say that Esav's cup was Beseda. That's why it rolled into the Maris HaMachpelah. We know that only his head is buried in the Maris HaMachpelah. Esav and Cheshbon, he was Beseda. Not Cheshbon, maybe. Esav had a cup. And his cup, he knew how to, he understood the ramifications of all his decisions. So Esav sat down and he said, Hinei Anochi HaHolech Lomos, gonna die anyway. What do I need this for? Poshup shot, stam, if you look at it superficially, we've heard this before ourselves. Say, you know, what do I need it for? What for? I'm going to die anyway, right? So, poshup shot. But that's not the pshat they say in the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim say he was worried that a kohen, lemaisa, there's a lot of infractions that he might commit during the avodah, and it'll cause him to get the death penalty, to get misa. And he said, I'm going to die from it. If it's already like I'm going to have to be nervous that I have to do it right, medaktik v'mitzvahs and all these different things that really should be done so properly, I'm going to die from it. The right thing is, right now, I'm hungry. Right now, I must have something to eat. What will be then, we'll see then. I said then, anyways, I might die from it. So it's a bori v'shema. It's pashut, this is guaranteed. That I don't know if it'll work out for me. He said, this is the right thing to do. You know? What do I need it for? Shame. He told him, swear to me. He swore to him, and he sold him to Bechayra. Then an interesting thing happens. V'yakev nosan le'esav. He gave it to him. Lechem. Now it tells us what it is, because finally, now that he's eating it, he knows what it is. Nezid adoshim. It's lentils. V'yoychal. He eats. V'yesht. And he drinks. V'yokom. He gets up. V'yelach. And he went. Then says the big words, Vayivez Esav Es HaBechayim. Many times a person in life makes a decision because he's in a tight spot. Then he's not in a tight spot anymore and he realizes it wasn't a good decision. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Esav, first you bring on a full stomach. Now he's thinking clearly. Now he knows exactly what it is. I just sold my whole future for a bowl of soup. Vayivez Esav Es HaBechayim. He despised it. In other words, he said, what do I need it for? The heck with it. That's what he said. Tachas nishtom. Finished. Ba'yiv ez eisav sabachar. Before he was saying, the avodah. Now, once he realized his mistake, it says, maybe when a person keeps certain mitzvahs and finds them to be easier, and then he does something that he's really not supposed to do, and throws in the towel. Chavetz Chaim is medamet to someone who has a $5 bill, and he changes it for 5 singles, and 4 of them blow away in a strong wind, and he's left with $1. Does he say, you know what? I lost the 4. Here you go. He throws it. No. Not when it comes to that last dollar. He puts it in the pocket. At least you have one, right? But we don't want to admit necessarily that we made a mistake. So we say, you know what? Finish. So we see that Esav at this point has decided, Ruchni is not for me. It's not for me. This is not for me. That's it. This is Esav. This is the first introduction to Esav. It's a funny thing, because later on in the parasha, the brochas, Yaakov Avinu comes, and we know he comes b'mirma, as Yitzchok says in the post, he comes with guile, he comes with trickery, and he takes the brochas away from Esav. And Esav, Amaisa, comes back later on, and he's very upset that he lost these brochas. If you look at the pashtas of the brochas, the words, it seems like these are really gashmiyistic brochas. V'yitim cho'alikim, Mital Hashemayim, Hashem should give you from the dew of the heavens, Mishmanei Oretz, the fat of the land, Roiv Dogen V'Sirosh, abundant of wheat, grapes. Sounds like Parnosim. Sounds like Gashmius Tegazan. So we would understand at first glance why Esav was upset. That this is Esav's business, Gashmius, right? Yavducha Amim, they'll serve you all the nations, they'll bow to you. All these things sound like dominion, power, government, all Gashmius Tegazan things. So Esav was upset, right? But it's not true. The Maaseh, the Medrash says that these brachas have a ruchni sticker ingredient to them. They have really, they were really brachas of ruchnis. And the Medrash it says, "V'yitain l'cha ho elokim." What does it mean? Ho elokim. He gave you the God. If you read it that way, "Yitain l'cha elokusai." God should give to you from His godliness, from His elokus. That's what the Medrash says. In fact, the Svasamas, but it says later on in the Pasuk, Nital HaShemayim U'Mishmanei Ha'aretz, doesn't sound like Elokusai to me, the two of the heavens, fat of the earth, talking about Parnosa. What does this come to Elokusai? He says the Svasamas, because the Rabban Shalom wants that everybody should take from all that he sees in the creation and raise it, and take out of it the Kedusha, and find the Rabban Shalom all over, like the whole Shara Bechina and Chavis Halvovis is about this, that everything in the Bria has godliness in it, and a person is supposed to be Mekabel, that Elokus from everything that he sees in the Bria. Gashmias doesn't make a difference. All of it has to be brought out. He says, you see Be'emes in the Medrash later on as well, that Mital HaShomayim is referring to the Nesachim, the Menachas, Karbonis. It's referring to Karbonis. Mishmanei Ha'oretz is trying to tell you, he says, Hainu Ha, that from the earth alone, you take, You make it into wheat and you make it into a carbon mincha. You take from the earth, from the grapes, and you make a carbon nisachim. Everything that you see, you're supposed to find the Ribbono Shel Olam there. And this bracha was meant to be that. That you should find in all the things I bestow upon you, all the riches and all the bria that is open to man, you should find the Ribbono Shel Olam there. You see, it wasn't a Gashmi Yisdika bracha. So Ruchni Yisdika bracha. Ruchni Yisdika bracha. Not only that, Rav Shamsher Fall here says, in the next pasuk, he's bavorns up sashtikul modna lashon here. The next pasuk says, Yavducha amim, nations shall serve you, v'yishtachul umim, they should bow to you. Then he says, Avigivir la'achecha, you should be a man to your brothers, Yaakov was his brother, v'yishtachul cha b'nei imecha, Sep is bow, and the sons of your mother should bow to you, say, from the beginning of the pasuk, v'yishtachul cha l'umim u'b'nei imecha. Sep has to say twice, bow to you. Your brother should bow to you, and the nation should bow to you. He says as follows. The Rebbeinu Shalom promised Avraham Avinu that his children were going to be a blessing amongst the nations. These brachas were originally intended for Esav. To be a blessing amongst the nations, they don't respect spirituality. They respect power, dominion, wealth. Therefore, the Rebbeinu Shalom was telling him in the brachas, I will give you wealth in the previous words, Mishmaniya or its Rav Dagam, I will give you influence, I will give you power, and I will give you wealth, so that the nations will serve you and they will bow to you. However, Heve Gevir La'achecha is not a bracha. Heve, it means you shall be a man, is an implicit challenge to Esav. For your brother, materialism is not going to work. He's not going to bow to you because of your dominion, he's not going to bow to you because of your money. That doesn't mean anything by Yaakov. For him to be a man to your brother, it's going to require spirituality. It's a challenge to Esau, become a mensch. Have Gvir L'Achecha, become a man in the sense of a Ben Yaak, of a Ben Avraham Avinu, of a Ben Yitzchak. That's a challenge. And then be Yishtachu L'Cho B'nei Yimecha. Then your brother will bow to you as well. So you see that it's full of Ruchnias, these brachas. And we know before, Vayivez Esav Esav B'chayra, except when Esav finds out that Yaakov came and took it, the Pasuk says, a very emotional scene. Kishmaya Esav Estivei Ofiv. When Esav hears the words of his father, by Yitzak Te'oka Gedoyla Umara, he cries out in bitter anguish, Admoid. There he is, a strong lashon. Mamish, mamish, upset. Vayomel Ofiv Barcheni Gamoni Ofiv. Please, give me, I know he came, but give me a blessing too. It's almost like the one kid who says, it's not fair. He got a treat. I didn't get a treat. It's not fair. It says, he continues. Yitzchak says, what should I do? He came, he tricked, he took it. And then Esav says, he says rhetorically, that's why he's called Yaakov, my brother. He tricked me twice. Well, first of all, tricked you twice. You made a cheshbon, you made a deal. A deal's a deal. He didn't trick you last time. But it's the same thing as Vayivez Esav Sabachir. It's the same thing. It's his fault. It's not my fault. You said yeah. You wanted yeah. Even when we're moida that I'm missing something here, right? He tricked me. It's not my fault. And that's why they call him Yaakov. And he keeps mamash, he keeps telling him, Vahini Atalokachosi, now he took my brachas by Yoimar, and he says, Haloya Tsalta Librach, did you save one for me? And he says, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And Esav continues, Ha brocha achasi lucha, not even one? Could you give me one bracha, Avi? Please, bracheni gamoni, Avi. Vayisav, and again, Vayitzak's crying. It already told us, Vayitzak tzokig da. Vayisav, Esav, Koyli, Vayev. Kimamish wailed, cried, bitter tears that he couldn't. One, I just want one bracha, that's all I want. Esav wants brachas from Ruchnias. Vayivez Esav Esavachayra. Who is this guy? Vayivez Esav Esavachayra. He realized that he sold it away. Now he's full. You know, when a person's hungry, they say to the wives, you know, that if you want to speak to your husband when he comes home, don't talk until he's eaten. A husband on an empty stomach is not the same husband as a full stomach. So a person doesn't think rationally when they're hungry. Say that. Right? But says the Mesillas Yesharim, Megana Tavis HaMeichel. Tavis HaMeichel is a low desire. Why? Because kin v'kibin shenichnas l'meya, once it goes into his stomach, nishkach ke'ilu lo'yhoya. You think the fire poppers and the pizza and all the gewalt gezachen, and a half hour later it's well garnished. That's how the bria works. Food comes and it goes. It's very fleeting. So now it's gone. So now Esav is thinking clearly. Right? What does he think? I don't need it. And then a few years later, habrocha achas, he tricked me twice. Well, since when did you care about that? First of all, you didn't want it. You didn't want it not before, not afterwards. Plus, you made a deal. You're blaming it on him. And that's another two. Now you're coming and saying, Habrocha Achas, what do you have to do with godliness? You want to have this restriction on you, this shibud, this responsibility of finding godliness in the Bria. Till now, Esav in the Bria is busy survival of the fittest. What does he have with the Bria that has a ruchnius content at all? At all. Not before he messed up and not after. And now all of a sudden, Ta'oka Gedela, Bechi, please, Gamali Avi, twice. Please, one bracha, not anything. I'll take anything. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? And what's the pshat that he's called Edom? He couldn't find another word for him. I mean, there's many things Esav, you see, did not do correctly. He tried to trick his father, right? Yitzchak, he liked him, Yitzchak, because he was tzayed b'fiv. So say, he was a trickster, like a rabbi maybe, like Lavan. Edom, what does this have to do with the red? I'll tell you a mashal. If you have a father, he has a child, he has a son. He's a busy father. He's busy. Elikt in the Arvit. Night and day he's working. Doesn't come home till 11, 12 at night. He's busy. He's very busy. What could you do? You have to make a living. His wife begs him, please spend time with your son. I'm begging you, spend time with your son. The kid, he needs to spend some time with you. A little bit. Some. What can I do? I don't know. Who's going to pay for his shoes? Who's going to pay for his shirt? Who's putting the roof over your head? Is the response. Gate on the barb. 9/11. He sees people jumping out of windows. Chops, you know, maybe the money's not so important. I should spend time with my son. So Rayon. So he comes home, tells his wife, Amuchan, I'm going to do something very special. And he tells to his son, and he tells him, son, I know that you love baseball, and I'm going to take you to a ball game, and we're going to eat supper before together. I'm going to come home early from work. We're going to sit 8 rows from the front. Me and you only. No phone, no business, no nothing. Me and you. The son is mamash unbelievable. Gevaldik. He starts counting the days like Sira. Hayayim, yayim, hayayim, yayim. It's coming today. Monday morning comes, the father gets a beep in the morning, and he says, oh yeah, yeah. He comes into his son. He says, listen, son, I really want to go with you. And I know this time I promised Aaron. I have a meeting. I cannot. This is a closing. It's a $120 million deal. If it falls through, I'll lose face. These people, it's a flip. I have to be there. It could fall apart. It's something. I can't miss this deal. I can't. But I know I promised you. I promised you. Next year, I'm going to season tickets. 80 games, me and you. I know not every time I'll be able to go, but I'll make sure that you go to everyone, and I'm going to go mishtal to go as many. But this is one deal. I can't. I can't do it. I have a meeting. I can't do it. And the kid looks at his father and he says, Tata, you told me Monday night? It's going to be Monday night. I don't want no 100 games next year. I don't want promises. I want now. You look at this kid and you say, you're a fool. 80 games, front row, and you'll have your father, and it'll be mamash bekfis. Here, you're giving you one time. You're training it for one time. Because a child has a problem. A child doesn't see into the future. He's not mature enough to see past now. If you upset him now, if you don't give him what he wants right now, then the child, although he knows what 80 games means, he's definitely a bardas. He knows what it means that his father's promising him the whole year. And it's all there. A verstehten cup. Right now, you're disappointing me. Right now, I can't fucking. Everything else, he's blind. He doesn't see anything but right now. And that was Esav. Esav knew exactly what Ruchnius was all about. Like we said, his cup rolled into the Aras HaMachpelah at Fashtanim. Esav knew exactly what lay in store for him if he gets the Avodah, the godless that could happen from his nation, and all the things that he'll have. But right now, I'm hungry. Right now, I'm hungry. I can't see anything else. He couldn't see anything else, even though he knew all these things. It possessed him. It was red in front of him, and that's all he saw. It mamish became him. Al kein torash my Edom. Because that symbolizes Esav's attitude and his problem. Live for the now. I don't want to be disappointed right now. He did a lot of good things, Esav. He made a cheshbon. It's the right cheshbon. Anyways, I won't do the job good. Like today, we have self-esteem. You know, we're not sure if we'll be able to do it anyways, and I'll mess up. So if I'm going to mess up, why do it? It's the right thing. I shouldn't do it. He asked himself, is it right? Is it wrong? I'm sure he went to his rebbe, whoever he was, his mentor, and said, is this the right thing, Rabbi? Or the wrong thing, Rabbi? But he failed to ask one question. Is it worth it? Regardless of right or wrong, is it worth it? That he doesn't think. Worth it. And my whole philosophy is now. There's no such thing as value later. There's no invest now for the later. There's now. That's my philosophy. Get your kicks in right now. Ish soda. That's all he knows. Right now, I need to live to the fullest. I cannot be restricted by Al kein torash moy Edom. Because that was his problem. That's what led him off the track, Esav. He could never see past the now. couldn't see past the now. And that's why later on, when he chaps, way later, oh, look what I did. Brocha achas, can I at least have one? He knew, Dan's fine. Esav, what he missed. He knew, but he couldn't get past it. Melech karashma yadayim. That's why he's called Edom. You see these people, you meet them, and they tell you, what are you doing? I worked in a yeshiva with Bochum that are partially making a living part of the day, or looking to be a mishtalmik. And you meet other guys, they tell you, what are you doing? I'm day trading. What happened to the job you had in that office? It's a better job, more masuda, you know? Had a guaranteed salary, more stable, you know. And day training, you know, there's a lot of money in it. You know, you can make it quick, you know. In one day, a penny stock, flip the next day. That's clean advice. I have to be machnia before the boss and wait 5 years till he moves me into the next office. I'm day training. You meet him 6 months later, he tells you he's looking for a new job. You meet the second guy, he made his money in the stock market. Everybody's losing, and this day trading and going. It's the guy who makes money in the stock market, puts money in the market, and then he forgets about it, and he leaves it. He's not in there for short term. He's there for long term. Goes up, it goes down. He never went in for short term. He's not living for the now. He's thinking the future. When I get the phone call and he tells me, this is where it is. It's 10 years later, it's $40. The bulls make and the pigs don't. Then he pulls out. But till then, right, he doesn't look. Someone tells him, but how did you do it? It went up and it went down. I wasn't looking. I didn't know. I didn't get fresh rocking from now. I'm looking for Vaita. That wasn't Esav. That was Yaakov. Yaakov said, you know, appeared a festive meal. It's a very serious atmosphere in the house. Zayda's gestorben. In comes this guy with a chutzpah. He tells me, pour it for me. Most guys would say, pour it for you? Get out of here. You have no... I'm busy working. You're having fun in the field. You come in here and you ask me to give you this. Yaakov should have said, five. Yeah, for me. I'm not... Shepherd's a chop. I'm nothing to do with you. Yaakov's not. No. It's an opportunity. It's something here, right? Maybe I can get the future. Yaakov doesn't think now. Now he ba'av with me. So really, my immediate reaction should be, kas, finished. You ba'av with me. I'm not giving you anything. No. Yaakov says, forget about the now. Say this. Say he has no curse. I tell you, he's a behemoth. Fine. It's fine. What can I get? He wants something. Yaakov thinks future. That's the difference. I'm Seder. I'm a vata. So I'll make another pot of stew for the top of the land. But my son, I'll get to Bukhar. I'll get the future. I'll get everything. So, he goes to Chav. Okay, fine. You want? Esav, Bakasha, have a seat. Here's the pillow. Here you go. Bakasha. Because he thinks the future. Not like Esav. Esav is only living in the now. And, you know, I think the guys who weathered the weather, you know, who braved the storm to come, I think it's because, what pulls a guy to come? You know, what pulls a guy to keep up his kesher with his rebbeim from Levaya? People constantly in the next phase of life are looking to grow and have that feeling of growth, of steiging, of aliyah that they had in that year or two in Levaya, three or four, whatever it is. They want to repeat it, you know, but it's a different environment. The gravity is just pulling. And they look, they look to grow, and they can't. They don't feel that the atmosphere is right. They don't feel they can. They try the same things to psych themselves out the same way they did. It's a gate fish that doesn't talk. So they come to one of these shiurim and to meet their rebbeim because they want to relive that. So maybe that'll reignite it, and then I'll take it with me, and when I go back to my new mundane situation that I'm in right now, I'll taste a little bit of what it was like then, and then it'll carry me. Right? The problem is, so what do we take? So the problem is that a yeshiva, and specifically a yeshiva like Levaya, right? Everything is nitzchiyut. You know, you're always thinking, what's going to be with my zman? What's going to be next? Why am I doing this now? If you wanted to have fun now, you don't go to some valley in the Vayakov staring at the stones all day in your caravan if you want to live for now. You go there because there's something there that it will invest in my future, both Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. That's why you're there. You're not living for the now to go to yeshiva. The whole nahus, the whole metzias of a yeshiva, the whole essence of what it is all about investment in your future. Every minute you spend is investment in mitzvahs for Olam Haba and for my future life here, the quality of life I'm going to have here on Olam Hazeh. You know, you tell a Rebbe, a Cheshman, you know, should I take it? There's a chavrusa tumul. What's a chavrusa tumul? Because I know in 3 months, if I don't have a good chavrusa, I'm finished for the rest of this month. Why are you thinking about 3 months from now? Worry about now. The yeshiva doesn't work like that. Everything's with a cheshbon for the future. I'm not going to learn with this guy, because then I'm going to burn out. I won't have a chavrus in 2 months, and then where will I be? Rebbe, should I learn with this guy? Rebbe, I want to go out tonight. Somebody's visiting from America, but I'm not sure, because Lamais, if I go there, this will end up happening. Why are you asking? Because you know that it'll leave you nowhere next week. That's a mindset that one has in a yeshiva in general, specifically in a yeshiva like Levaya. When you come out here, and you come back to America, and America is all about instant gratification. On the way here, I got a text message from someone, one of the Talmudim was telling me, today with text messaging, instant messaging, I always thought text messaging, that's all there is. But there's also instant messaging. You can't wait another minute. There's instant messaging. There's everything is now. When you turn on the radio and you hear that from Japan, they've manufactured 400,000 Sony PlayStations, and they're not going to make another one for the next 4 months. So you have adults camping out in front of Circuit City, and in front of Target, and in front of Walmart, whoever they sold it. My wife said she saw them in tents for 3 days, waiting, because there's only 400,000. But in 4 months, they're going to have millions of them, at half the price. But I need it now. But you might lose your job. You're staying out here 3 days, you're going to miss your job. And you might get sick, it's freezing cold. And how about you lose your dignity, the oil and void, because you look like an imbecile, right? Then I'll take the future. I need the PlayStation right now. That's where we live. We live in that reality. Mela, when we think future, it's not even in our, it's not in our fiber. It doesn't enter the lexicon of our English. However, in yeshiva, everything is future. So what we come back to reignite, to get from there, I think, is that. It's not pshat. You know, everyone has a kfiyas itim. Regardless, some guys are still in yeshiva, some guys are not in yeshiva. Everyone has a kfiyas itim. Everyone's trying to be oisik in maisim, sodom, in stoker, in mitzvahs. And these are all gevaldige zachen. The problem is when we're done and we walk away, were we doing a Baruch Shepotrani that we just did it to be Yotze? I have to do it. Chosh, you know, I have to do it, right? I went to yeshiva, I know what it's all about. I have to do it. But when I walk away, where am I going next? And when I go, am I saying to myself, listen, Rabbi, I'm going out now. Is it right or is it wrong? Let me call Rabbi Lopi on his local number. Is it right or is it wrong? But we're not asking the fatal question. Is it worth it? Forget about if it's right or if it's wrong. Is it worth it? That we miss. We don't have. That was Esav's problem. He never asked, is it worth it? He said, it makes sense. This is what I should do and finish. But maybe it's this is the right thing to do. I'm not really for kahuna. I'm going to die anyway. But is it worth it? Yaakov said, I can get really mad at Esav right now, but is it worth it? No, it was not worth it. And that's why today we have the kahuna. Yeah, is it worth it? That's a very important question. That's a mindset that you have in yeshiva, that because of the environment we live in, we don't think that way. And that's what we have to try to recapture, is making a cheshbon, is it worth it? Right now I can have this. Yeah, it's mutter, whatever it is. It's also even, tomorrow I'll start again. True, all true. But is it worth it? Where's it going to leave me? Where's it going to leave me afterwards? It's not a question, should I, shouldn't I? Where's it going to leave me? Is it worth it? Al-Kain Karash Mayadim. Just the last thing I'll leave you with is that, man, I once was sitting, and Rav Shimshon Pinkus was speaking, here in America. He was telling over Maisa that he's a brother-in-law of Rav Hillel Zaks. Rav Hillel Zaks comes from the Chofetz Chaim, and he's related to the family. They got news that there was a bunch of Russian immigrants that came into Eretz Yisrael, to the Merkaz HaKlita in Be'er Sheva, in the absorption center down south. You know. They heard that one of them, amongst them, is an Einikel of the Chofetz Chaim. They figured they're going to go travel and see. They get there, it's an 80-something-year-old woman. She's no longer religious. And they didn't have much to talk to about. Two guys with frocks and Hamburgs with an 80-year-old Bundes socialist, there's not much to discuss, right? But they asked her, tell us something about the Zeda. Tell us something. So she said, you know what? I'll tell you, Maisa. When I was 16, there was a revolution going on. You know, they allowed Jews to go to universities. There was equal rights. I left Rodney. That's it. I went out to university. Everybody knows what happens after that. And she came back to visit Rodden. She went into her grandfather. And in Rodden didn't have electricity. There was a candle on the table. It's Chaim sitting there learning. She comes in and she says, Zeda, you're a smart person. What are you standing in the darkness? There's a light world. There's technology, there's revolution, there's culture. Personally, your caliber, do you know where you can be in the world today? The Jews are everything today. We're allowed to display all our talents in the venue of the world. Unbelievable forum. You're sitting here in your little room with a candle. Chofetz Chaim says, you see, there was World War I then, she said. So the bombs they threw off the plane was a box of dynamite. Just to throw a box of dynamite and then explode it, that was a bomb. And they had the first war planes, you know, going, World War I. So he told her, after time said, is that the bombers was a warfen? You see the bombs they're throwing? Do you think you're seeing something now? You think you're seeing a bomb that could destroy a little box of dynamite, a corner, a hole in the wall. They're going to make a bomb that is capable of destroying the world. Technology will advance. You're living for the now. There's going to be plenty more nows. There's going to be been there, done that every 5 years. Is that the aeroplane was gained? You see the aeroplanes that are going in the sky. They're going to make an aeroplane that can gain business lunar. They'll make a space shuttle. They'll go to the moon. This is back then, you know, World War One. Who would know from these things? Time hot. These things are all money. They're all temporary. You live for the now. Now changes tomorrow morning. Now is not now the next day because some new guy came up with a cheshbon. It's unlimited capability that man has. Oh, the Herzachain Gut, he says to me. Me and Machen mentioned. We make people. That they don't know how to make. Here we make people. People who think ahead. Not just now. We can have fun now. We can do now. We invest in the future. Now Pinker says he was walking after this Maisa in a city. It was a nice skyline. He says he's not in the spoil. He grew up in New York. But he said he was thinking the glass and the metal and the mirrors. And he says, look how far man has come since that Maisa. Look how much they've created since then. He looks, he says, look how big are the things that they created, and look how small dimensions. He looked down, it's the same guy. Because they were able to create all sorts of technology and revolution and information, superhighway in the world, a smaller place, and business and everything. But they couldn't make a human out of that being. They couldn't make a mensch. That they couldn't do. Because a mensch has nothing to do with, look what's in now. Today you can get a new cell phone. Tomorrow, now changes every day. That's the expression, been there, done that. Because once you have it, everybody who leases a car knows, right? After 4 years, what you thought was unbelievable, it's 4 years later. Habibi, there are new cars. Wake up, right? In Gashmias, it is that way. The living for the now is a fleeting thing. In the future, someone who thinks in the future. Yeah, Machen mentioned. That was the Chofetz Chaim's cook. Chofetz Chaim's cook wasn't that. Yeah, and they'll continue, he said. This is nothing. They'll fight. They'll make bombs and this and that. I mentioned, when a guy is here in America, and whatever he's struggling with, whether he's in yeshiva, he's not in yeshiva, he's working in college, he's in part-time yeshiva, whatever it is, he's kivayitim, he has to think in terms of when he's finished doing something, that I'm not just doing it to be yitzah, I'm doing it till zayn for me and Machad mentioned. I'm doing this because I want to invest in my wife, and I'm an investor. Now my grandmother always jokes, as Yoshka saves, Abba Moses invests, right? I'm investing in myself, my ulam hazeh and my ulam habo, right? Then, when you're finished and you walk out, you don't ask, is it right or wrong to go there? If this is an investment, I got to protect my investments. Is it worth it or not? Is it going to be me and Machen mention or not? And hopefully, you know, from these get-togethers, hopefully they should happen more often. My ulam should be zeichelik to reach the same madrigas that they did when they were in Eretz Yisrael.